Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. This is the reading of God's word. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that you would grant us an ear to hear your word. And Father, it is very hot, and we pray that you would give us strength to stay awake and hear your word. And in your word, let us see what your Son has done and accomplished for us. Let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. As we hear your word, let our faith grow and let us grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we did not finish verse 1 last time, so let us quickly finish it and move on to verse 2. Paul tells us that him being an apostle of Jesus Christ is by the will of God. Yes, everything is by the will of God. Nothing is outside of the will of God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 through 30, are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father's, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. In God, we have our total security. It is not fate. It is not a chance. It is the will of God. Everything happens according to the will of God. For you and I, our life is all about obeying and delighting in the will of God. We must participate in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, who perfectly obeyed the will of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 29. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. Brothers and sisters, we must trust our God. Our God knows what He's doing. All things happen to us so that we may conform to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that is the purpose of everything. The jobs that we have, the business that we might have, all by the will of God. Who we are, what we are, where we live, how much we make, what family we belong to, all are according to the will of God. And sometimes we are not pleased with the will of God for our lives, but we must trust our God. He loves us. Our purpose then is to obey the will of God. See, Jesus Christ, that was His life. Even before His death on the cross, He says, "Not my will, but yours will be done." Deuteronomy chapter 29:29. It says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law." So this verse tells us that the will of God, we could divide that into two different kinds: the secret will of God and the revealed will of God. The secret will of God, we could know that only after it happens. And there's no way we could know, because God does not tell us. Like some people, they might want to know what are the, you know, lotto numbers. That's the secret will of God. Those numbers will come up, and all that is the will of God. Because if he wanted different number to come up, then he will carry it that way. But see, those are not revealed will of God. And secret will of God, we could only know after it happens. Now, revealed will of God is what we have in the Bible. It tells us what is the will of God, what God desires, and what pleases Him. We must obey this. And not obeying, not joyfully yielding to the will of God is sin. Remember that His will is that all things work together for our own good. My all is in the will of God and is according to the will of God. God's will is the dignity and the pride of what I do. See, whatever you might be doing right now, you should have pride and dignity because that is according to your, according to God's will. Because if He did not will that, then you will not have that job. Our job is not about complaining about my life or your life. Our job is to obey the will of God. Now, nothing wrong with asking for another job, for example. But today, that job you have is the will of God. Tomorrow it might not be, but today it is, and you need to obey with joy. Because if what I do is what God wants me to do, then that is all that matters. I could have dignity in what I do, for it is the will of God. It is the same when I suffer, when I am persecuted, when I am lonely, and so on and on. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. As we know the will of God, we must obey, thus more and more participate in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 4, verse 34. My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. Doing the will of God is His food. That's what He says. Heaven is a place in which the will of God and the will of us will be the same. And you must remember and believe that that life that belongs to heaven has already begun. And that is the life of Jesus Christ. To obey the will of God is to be like Christ. And Jesus Christ is the true apostle. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. Verse 1 ends with this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Timothy was not an apostle. And even in this, we see the beginning of the new era. In Jesus Christ, all who are in Christ Jesus are now our brothers. We are all the children of God. All who are in Christ Jesus are my brothers because they are the brothers of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. We read that already. Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren. And Jesus is not ashamed to call us His brethren. This is our heavenly, present heavenly reality that we already possess. It is our eternal reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. Our eternal heavenly reality that has been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is accomplished according to the will of God. And let us joyfully obey His will for us. And let us remember that our food also is to do the will of God. Consider doing the will of God as your food. It's absolutely necessary for your survival. And that's how you would consider the will of God. Doing the will of God. Now, let's move on to verse 2 then. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In verse 1, the Apostle Paul introduces to us himself, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Now in verse 2, he tells us about the recipients of this letter. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae. But we all know that the ultimate recipient of this word of God are His churches in all ages. Thus the description that we see in verse 2 is also the description of us. It shows us who we are in Jesus Christ. We are the saints. And we are the faithful brethren, and we are the recipients of God's grace and peace. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, the New King James Version has translated more closer to the Greek. It has, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. They are in Christ and also in Colossae. In telling us the location in which the Colossians live, Paul says, he says it as if they are living in two places. Yes, we do live in two places at the same time, every single moment of our lives. We live in this world. Like these people are living in Colossae. But we also live in Christ. Paul uses phrase in Christ in so many places, and I believe that understanding what Paul means by the phrase is so essential in our Christian life. The 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 38 says, but by His doing you are in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ. No matter where we are in this world and no matter what we are doing, we are in Christ and doing all things in Jesus Christ. Our work, our businesses, our studies, we do all things in Jesus Christ. Our meetings, our fellowships, our laughs and our cries, we do all things in Jesus Christ. Even when we suffer in Christ. All is in Christ, through Christ, and by Christ, and for Christ. Otherwise, whatever it might be, it's not Christian. The Bible teaches us that God chose us before the foundation of the universe in Christ. Our eternal life and our redemption are in Christ. Living forever is in Christ. There is no condemnation and that is in Christ. God's love and His grace we receive in Christ. We have become one body, one family in Christ. Our justification and our sanctification are in Christ. We have the true freedom in Christ. Our reconciliation to God is in Christ. Our new creation is in Christ. Our victory is in Christ. We do receive every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We have become co-heir with Christ in Christ. Our salvation is in Christ. The promise of life is in Christ. Peace with God is in Christ. God's calling is in Christ. All of God's eternal purpose, which He carried out, is in Christ. Drawing near to God is in Christ. Everything we say, everything we boast, are in Christ. Our forgiveness of sin is in Christ. The whole Christianity is in Christ. Through Christ, by Christ, and for Christ. I mean, I hope I meant my point there. Jesus Christ is our purpose, is our meaning, our motivation, our means and manners. He's everything for us. And if you take away Jesus out of anything, then whatever that might be, it's not Christian. So what does the phrase mean, in Christ? First, it points to the reality of us being united to Jesus Christ in all things. This also means that Jesus Christ represents us. He is the representative. It is the representative union. Thus, all that Jesus Christ has done, He did them as our representative. He did them for us. He did them in our places. He did them with us. Thus, it is as if we have done them ourselves. So not only that you have to be able to say, He did it for us, but you have to be able to say, I did it with Him. Because everything that He has done, He has done those things as your representatives. Representative. There's this union between you and Jesus Christ. See, this is good news. Thus, this is the gospel. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. This kind of verse gave me so much problem, as you know, I told you this many, many times. In the beginning of my Christian life, I had problem with this kind of verse. What does he mean that he has been crucified with Christ? Paul was speaking about the representative union between he and his Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever Jesus has done, we are able to claim that we have done them ourselves. See, this is the good news. This is the gospel. If you read about whatever Jesus Christ has done, you could claim as you have done it. God allows this. God encourages this. God tells us that this is our spiritual reality. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to 5. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. We have been died with Christ and buried with Christ and resurrected with Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. We find the phrase with Him three times in these two verses. God made us alive together with Christ, raised us up with Christ, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places. All in Christ, of course. Thus His death is our death. His resurrection is our resurrection. His perfect life is our perfect life.
His victory is our victory.
Do you understand this phrase, in Christ? We are in Christ.
Now, in Christ also point to our vital union with Christ. It is the union of life. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. See, our life comes from Christ and is in Christ. So there is this union of life, vital union between Christ and us. The Bible shows this union through many illustrations. Jesus as the tree and we are the branches. Jesus as the head and we are His body. And Jesus as the husband and we are His wife. Jesus as the foundation and we as the living stones. There is another aspect of our union with Christ that is similar to this one. We are united to Christ Jesus in that He lives in us in the Holy Spirit.
You see, we are in Christ. We are united to Christ.
Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away, behold, the new things have come. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We are in Christ, thus we have become a new man. Our old self is dead and we have resurrected to a new self in Christ. But it goes further than that. Not only we have become a new creation, but we now belong to the new creation. Not only we changed, but the world in which we belong, that has been also changed. Because we do not belong to this world anymore. So it's not just I have become new creation, but in the world in which I live, it's no longer this world. I live in a new world. Thus, in Christ also means that I have become the citizens of heaven, citizens of God's kingdom. We do not belong to this world anymore. John 15, 19, I read these kind of verses to you so many times. If you are of the world, then the world will love its own. But because you are not of this world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this the world hates you. Galatians chapter 1 and chapter 1 verse 4, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, for He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven. We have been seated at the heavenly places in Christ. Thus, Galatians chapter 6, verse 14b says, our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. We are dead to this world and this world is dead to us in Christ. Thus, we cannot follow the patterns of this world. So, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3 say, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. No matter what we are doing, no matter where we are in this world, remember, we are in Christ. Christ surrounds us. The atmosphere of heaven surrounds us. We are in Christ. And the reality of it must dictate. The reality of we being in Christ must dictate, must dominate, must witness how we live and as what kind of person we live here on earth. It's not about who you are in this world, but that fact that you are in Christ, that should dictate and dominate how you're going to live your life. Understanding who you really are. We must live as who we are in Christ. We must live as who we are in heaven. How must we live and as what kind of person must we live are determined by our heavenly reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. We must live according to that reality. Who we are here on earth, like I said a million times, is temporary. But who we are in heaven is eternal. Yes, all things of this world is temporary. In Christ, we have been given the new identity. An eternal identity. We are Christ's eternal bride, His sons, His brothers, His friends. We are the citizens of His kingdom and we are His people. We are the royal priesthood of our God. You see, we are possessed of Christ, thus we are the possessors of Christ. This is who we have become when we are saved. We are in Christ. Not only we live in this city, but we also live in Christ. We live in union with our Lord Jesus Christ. And you must never forget this. You and Christ are so united that from now on and to the eternity, there will be not a second that you are not united to Christ. Thus, we cannot speak of you apart from Christ anymore. You apart from Christ is nonsense. It doesn't exist. We must live according to our heavenly reality, the reality of being in Christ. We must live by faith, not by sight. Faith is the witness of the things that are not seen. Our heavenly reality is not seen, but it is real and true. Yes, it is not only unseen, but it is also hard to believe. For example, our heavenly reality of standing in the presence of God as righteous, holy, and blameless sons of God. Can you see that? Can you see yourself standing before our holy God as a holy and blameless and righteous Son of God? It's hard to believe. But you must believe. We must, through the Word of God, see our eternal reality that our Lord has already accomplished for us. See, this is the victory of our faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Brothers and sisters, we must live by faith. And because we are in Christ, because we are the citizens of heaven, in this world, then, We are the aliens and travelers and sojourners. This is another thing that it means to be in Christ. That we are aliens in this world. You know, our kids and although old people who have kids are not here today. Our kids, well, I have, when they go off to college, they all experience what is called homesickness. Even those kids who did not like living at home, if they're away for a long time, they all experience this, homesickness. See, this is our reality. You and I, we are homesick. Every single day, we are homesick. And if you are not homesick, then you don't know who you are and you don't know what is going on in your life. You really don't know the reality of it. You got to understand the meaning and the purpose of your life. You truly need to understand what is my life all about and what is the reality that I possess. We miss our eternal home. We miss our Lord Jesus Christ. We who are in Christ cannot be satisfied with the worldly blessings. Oh yes, we need them. And we are thankful for them, but we cannot be satisfied with the worldly things. It really doesn't matter how much you have. Bible continues to tell us, show us, that we cannot be satisfied with them. Oh yeah, you say to yourself, oh yeah, if I have like a couple million, I'll be satisfied. That's what you think. And that's what a lot of people who said that thought before they got a few millions. And after they have it, they were not satisfied. They want more. That's the truth. We have already tasted how good our Lord Jesus Christ is. And how good our eternal home is. When we read the book of Exodus, even as the Israelites were saved out of Egypt, even as they were traveling towards the promised land, they wanted to go back to Egypt. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we also have come out of this world, and we cannot go back, and we don't want to go back. Going back is foolishness. We are in Christ. Thus Christ is everything to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30, but by His doing we are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Thus we boast Jesus Christ. We boast in Him. We find who we are, what is our purpose, what is the meaning of our life. We find all this in Jesus Christ. And if you find these things in any other place, then you have the false information. What you have is a lie. And God's people who are in Christ, we desire Christ more and more. We are hungry for Him and we are thirsty for Him. To meet Him and have fellowship with Him. To worship Him and praise His holy name. That is our ultimate joy and satisfaction. In Christ we forever come to Him. And forever meet Him. And forever commune with Him. And forever adore Him. And forever love Him. This is what it means to be in Christ. To united to Christ. See, it's not like you look at yourself and say, well, I'm not like that. So I might not be in Christ. No, that's not how you do it. First, you believe that you are in Christ because Bible tells you. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you are in Christ. Then you realize what it means to be in Christ from the Bible, and you do your best to witness it now. You don't go backwards. You believe, and whatever that you believe, now you do your best to witness it. And you're not going to be perfect in witnessing it. Well, then repent and try again. In Christ, we forever come to Him, forever meeting Him, forever commune with Him. And more you meet Him, more you have fellowship with Him, the more you want of Him. Psalm 73 verse 25, whom have I in heaven but you? And beside you I desire nothing on earth. Psalm 42 verse 1 and 2, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, remember that even when we sin, we are in Christ. For those of us who truly understand the gospel will not use this as a license to sin, but the gospel will compel us to love Christ more and more. Our Lord Jesus Christ is in us. He possesses us, and we possess Him. We live in Christ, now and forever. And this is the gospel. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we give you all the glory, honor, and power. We thank you for saving us. And in Jesus Christ, we have everything. We are in Christ. We are united to Christ. That it is representative union. It is vital union. It means that everything that Jesus has done, we did it in Him. And it also means that we are a new creation. It means that the world in which we live is no longer this world. That we live in heavenly places. And Father, it means that we're going to be like Him. Oh Father, we pray that we'll live by faith. Live by the faith that we have, knowing clearly that we are in Christ. That we possess Christ and He possesses us. Let us witness the reality that we are truly in Jesus Christ. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.